Welcome one and all. My name is Donato, and this is You, Me, and Sub 3, a podcast a little bit about me, but mainly guests who are striving to be the best that they can be in running. And for myself, having taken up running in my mid-50s only a couple of years ago, last year in 2019, I had one of my life's epic achievements and being selected for the England Marathon Masters team. Now, whilst that is a great achievement, this April at London, I've set an even bigger challenge, which is just a few weeks before my 59th birthday. And that challenge is what thousands of top athletes aspire to, and that is for me to run my first ever sub-3-hour marathon. Many dream about it, but only a few achieve this. So this will be my weekly diary, so to speak, of my training journey to London Marathon. And a lot of my journey I share on my YouTube channel, but with this here is where I want to be sharing my hints, tips, and how to run the best marathon we can and enjoy as best we can, with the help of many guests from a cross-section, both professionals and everyday runners like you and me. So today's guest is none other than Paul, who's a full-time teacher in London. And he's taken on a challenge for this year, 2020, to run 20 marathons. Why not? It sounds like a round number. So I hope you enjoyed this chat and interview that I had with Paul. He's a great guy and he's got so much to share, and something where maybe you're thinking of doing a marathon, and maybe this will help inspire you in some way of taking up and become more active. So enjoy. Thank you. Good day, one and all, and welcome, Paul, to our podcast. How are you feeling?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Well, this is probably a first. So for those of you who are listening on this podcast, you won't be able to see this. So you'll have to go to the YouTube to see this, because we are actually on camera here and at the YouTube channel. And this is the first time I've recorded live, so to speak, in a Costa coffee. So welcome, Paul.
All right. And there are other coffee shops available as well, yeah.
Yes. Obviously, Paul's been trained by the BBC, where we have to say other brands are available. A very warm welcome to the show, Paul. And thank you so much for giving your time to come on here, and why we're going to talk about why you are on here. And we did meet through Parkrun.
Yep.
And we were chatting away there about what the running that we do. And you straight away mentioned to me a challenge that you're doing for 2020. If you want to tell everyone what the title of the challenge is, and then we'll sort of step back a bit. You can talk about your background of running, and then we'll go into the detail of what the challenge is. So what is the challenge for 2020 for you?
Well, on a sane moment, I decided to go, 2020, let's try and do 20 marathons. And so far, so good. I'm on two. It's mid-Feb. I've got another one in a week and a half. So if I survive that, I'm hoping to go through the rest of it.
Wow. So that's the challenge. Obviously, we're going to get into a bit more nitty-gritty with that. Yep. But for those who are listening and those who are watching, Paul is quite an experienced runner, yeah? So if you want to go through...
I wouldn't go that far. Don't accuse me of that, please.
Well, when I say experienced, I was discussing only the other day about a couch potato to marathon in 12 weeks, which... Yeah, okay. You're not one of those, are you?
Relatively speaking, yeah, I wouldn't fit into that category.
Yes, so you have been running a little bit. So tell us a bit of a background, how you got into running, how long you've been running?
Probably about 2.5 years at most. I suppose I was just...
See, his experience, 2.5 years.
Yeah, fair enough. I was there one day, just kind of thought, kind of reaching an age, I should be able to run. So I'd signed up for parkrun probably about 4 or 5 years ago. Never done it. I got an email saying, do you want to keep doing it or do we get rid of your account? It kind of embarrassed me into things. So I said, yeah, fair enough. I tried to do it. I think it was August 2017. Went for a run, did the first lap at Wanstead Flats. Couldn't go beyond that. I had to walk most of the rest of it and I was embarrassed. So I said, yeah, crack on from there and kept on practicing and here we go.
So you said you'd done one lap at Wanstead and then you had to walk.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show, and here you are now embarking on 20 marathons in a year. But you say they sent you an email to embarrass you. So like me, I think a lot of us, for those who don't know what parkrun is, just go to parkrun, just Google parkrun, and you'll find it because it is a global thing. But like yourself, I think I registered and never went for a parkrun. I didn't get to the point of getting an email. I think it might have been 12 months from registering before I got to go. Yeah. So you must have been on there a while.
I probably was. Just one of those things I looked at and I went, why have I bothered to sign up if I'm not going to do it? So I said, yeah, I'll try it. And did the one lap, managed a little bit the second lap running, then had to walk it, as I said, embarrassing. And I said, I'm not going to put in that position again. So trained, got a little bit better and just kept on challenging myself.
Right. So from there, how did it progress?
I suppose the easiest way to look at it is I did it. I said, right, okay. Went along, did the next couple of park runs. Got into doing park run on Saturday morning. Just an excuse to get up because I'm always awake anyway. Kept going, starting to realise, okay, get my time down. And then I said, right, from there, 5K, let's try and do a 10K. Signed up with somebody who pulled out, but did the 10K. Did quite well on that on my own, on what I was hoping for. And then I said to myself, well, if I can do 10K in a marathon, what's the difference? Apparently 32K. And yeah, signed up for the Brighton Marathon. That was for April last year. And yeah, that's where we'll get to.
And you've been going on since. So that was what I call a good progression. So you didn't go straight into marathon running.
No.
You just slowly progressed into it, which is the best way.
Yeah,
I think, you know, so you obviously enjoyed it and then you caught the marathon bug. Did you go on to do another marathon after Brighton last year?
Right. So after the 10K, I signed up for, I think, a couple of half marathons, the Stratford Olympic Park one. I did a Lee Valley one and then ran the Brighton Marathon. Then I said if I could do that, which I never thought I could do a marathon in my life, let alone a half marathon. So I said, yeah, do that. Signed up for Oslo in September, trained, got a hamstring injury and ran anyway. Just thought, why not? And then I did a local one called Sikhs in the City in Ilford. I did that in December. And somewhere between September and December, I kind of had the mad notion, well, why not try 20 in 2020 and see what happens?
I love that. So you say see what happens. Yep. Now, this 2020, you're not just sort of making it up as you go along. You've already planned the 20 marathons that you're going
about
to do.
About 15 of them are planned. I'm just looking for dates and whether if I can get into a couple of them. I applied to get into Dublin, but just couldn't get in. The spaces weren't available. London did the usual rejecting people. But I've tried. The initial idea was go around Europe, do lots of touring. That then I looked at the cost and went, no, that's not going to happen. So I've tried to stay relatively local and within the UK. And yeah, I mean, there's still a few more I'd like to do. I might get one abroad, but mostly just keep it around here and get it done, as opposed to get any major times, is my principle.
Right, right. So the strategy for you is literally just get out there, get each one done, tick them off. So have you got a sort of schedule in time difference between each one? Is it you allowing a week, 2 weeks?
Right, so the first one I did was 4th of January. Happy with that. Then I did...
So literally on New Year's Day, you went out and done a marathon?
The 4th.
Oh, sorry, the 4th.
Yeah, 4th. So I just wanted to get one in early. Do that. Then it gives you the extra bit of time. I did one 2-3 days ago in the middle of Storm Dennis down in Kent.
Wow.
That was interesting. Driving rain, but... It was that wet. I would have been dry if I'd gone swimming. So yeah. I just thought, get through that one. That's done. I've got another one 2 weeks' time. The plan is to try and keep 2 or 3 weeks at least between each.
Right.
But I've got a couple of challenges. I'm doing the London to Brighton 100K.
Right. So my that's a little bit more than a marathon.
Yeah, but it qualifies as a marathon on both days.
Yeah.
So in my principle, that's 2 marathons. And I've also signed up for the Spitfire Scramble. Don't know if you're familiar with it.
I've heard of it. What is that one?
It's a 24-hour race. See how many laps you can do of a circuit within 24 hours. My principle is just to go there. I think it's on the Saturday to the Sunday over 24 hours. I'll do a marathon on the Saturday, do a marathon on the Sunday, and then try and support other people from the club, running club, who are there, and help them out, anything else along the way. And to my logic, that's another 2 marathons done. Whether it's counted officially or not, I don't care.
Well, in my book, it does count. Yep. I think every 26.2 that you do, you like what I did there, the rhyming, every 26.2 that you do, counts as a marathon. So whether it's 2 a day, 3 a day, 4 a day, it's each one.
I'm not going that far.
you're keeping it sensible. So two on consecutive days is the most you're looking at the moment.
Yeah, I don't want to push it beyond that. So the first one is on the May 23rd, 24th of May. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, being a teacher, you've got the week off afterwards. So I've got recovery time there. And then the next one is about 18th, 19th of July, give or take. After that, I've got the summer holidays, so I've got no excuse for recovery there.
It's funny you touched on recovery. I mean, we were chatting beforehand where few weeks back on the podcast, we had the author Christy Ashwandan talking about recovery.
Yeah.
Being a teacher, often I hear a lot of people talking about that they have certain professions where they don't have the time to commit to do certain running and training and so on. How do you fit in your training and recovery around being a full-time teacher?
I try and train on Tuesdays and Thursdays with the running club YouTube Runners. They're based in Stratford, just by the Olympic Park. Long run, about an hour's run, 10K, 6 to 10K, give or take, on a Tuesday. They do track work on Thursday. I try and do a park run on Saturday and then a long run on a Sunday. But with the commitments of work, I don't get to train as much as I'd like. However, recovery-wise, you just get up on a Monday morning. If you've done it on the Sunday, you go into work and you whinge and whine and the kids go, what's wrong with you? And then you moan and you tell them that. They look at you and go, shut up, old man. And I go, I agree. Yeah, no problem. But it's just part of it. If you're going to take on the challenge, you got to take the other side too.
There you go, guys. No drama llama. He listens to his children. Get something. That's brilliant. And for those who are obviously watching on our channel, Paul does look fit and healthy. You're nicely...
I think you need to go back to Specsavers.
Yeah, funny enough, these are not from Specsavers. Yeah, anyway. So the recovery, it's almost like you're just applying common sense. You're not taking any magic powders or any... What is it? Infrared pajamas or anything like that?
No. Nothing like that.
50 pints of beer. Which
I don't drink alcohol. Never have. Yeah. So
right.
But it's, I look at it and go, if that's what you want, go for it. Anytime I've done a run, anytime I've finished a marathon, as soon as I eat after it, generally speaking, I'm all right. So food-wise, nothing special, just something that's there, I'll take it. And try and get a decent night's sleep. After that, I'm happy.
Right. So at the moment then, you say you've not got any times, but there must be in the back of your mind a a time that you would like to do at least one of them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. What time might that be?
If I can break the 4-hour barrier, I'll crack open the champagne. I don't mind. It's just psychologically for me, that would be the big one, because the first marathon I did was 4:35. The best I've done was in January, just under four minutes eight, and I was training well for that. Now it's the case of I'd love to Manchester. I'm signed up for that one on the 5th of April. I'm happy.
Right. So at the moment then, you say you've not got any times, but there must be in the back of your mind a time that you would like to do at least one of them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. What time might that be?
If I can break the 4-hour barrier, I'll crack open the champagne. I don't mind. It's just psychologically for me, that would be the big one, because the first marathon I did was 4:35. The best I've done was in January, just under four minutes eight, and I was training well for that. Now it's the case of I'd love to Manchester. I'm signed up for that one on the 5th of April, I think it is.
That's right, yep.
Yeah. So it's relatively flat, and if I can build up the training in between, that's the one I'd like to. If I can do it then everything else is not that much of an issue. But the longer you leave it, the longer that's sort of hanging over you, and you're thinking, I don't want to be waiting to the very end to try and break that. So let's see. If I could do it, 4 hours, happy bunny.
You'll be flying high as a kite. It's interesting you say Manchester you're targeting. I'm aiming to be there cheering.
Okay.
So hopefully I'll see you and I'll be giving you some motivational...
I'll give you a wave.
Similar to how your children is, I might give you a kick up your ass and move you along.
Fully deserved. I accept that.
But I'm sure it is a great course. It's very well supported. Not as big as the Marathon Majors, but it's still very well supported.
Yeah.
And from what I know, many, many people get PBs there. It is a flat course.
Okay.
There might be the odd cheeky little lump, I think, in Altrincham, where it might be up a little bit, but then obviously with the up, there's a little bit down, but the rest of it is pretty much flat. So
I'll take that.
It's a good one that you've targeted, so I'm sure you'll be able to do it, and then you'll be flying high through the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So is there a reason that made you decide to do this 2020? Are you doing it for... Because a lot of people take challenges on in memory of people or charities or whatever, or is it just something that you decided, like others, is... Let's just go and do it.
Just kind of thought, yeah, why not? It sounds good. You know, to me, I'll take that. 20 and 2020. I like the symmetry. I might try and build up some charity, you know, kind of set up some charity fundraising page as well. But I want to get into it some way and prove I can do it to myself rather than asking people for sponsorship and then going halfway through going, I can't do this. So, yeah, other than, yeah, why not? There's no other real motivation.
That's a great philosophical way of looking at it. I mean, it's very similar to me, where sometimes when you commit to helping charity, it can add more pressure, whereas you seem to be taking it just in your stride and keeping cool and relaxed, as we say, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, would that be a good philosophy?
A fair assumption, yeah, I'll give you that. There's a guy in school, he told me this phrase, I can't remember the first guy to swim around the UK. And he said his mantra was, be naive enough to start and stubborn enough to finish. And I like it. Works for me.
I love that. I mean, but just stay naive all the way through.
Oh, yeah, blissful ignorance. It's got me through life this far. I'll take it.
So I'm guessing then, Paul, you don't really listen to running podcasts or watch YouTube videos or read blogs about running or anything like that. Am I guessing correctly?
Pretty much. I speak to a couple of people who seem to know their stuff at the running club. Other than that, just put on the shoes, a little bit of a stretch and go have a run and see what happens.
Right. So. Perfectly on cue, Paul. I was going to ask you about your running club, because that's one of my pet loves, is helping people where I believe in the way, similar to how Parkrun helps people in terms of a community type thing, being a member of a running club. A lot of people have these myths, and sometimes they may have been to a club and they've had a bad experience, you know, because all clubs are different. Give us a background more about, because I've ran past, I thought when I saw ViewTube.
Yep, ViewTube.
That's the name of the club. Now, I've been there and I've filmed that on one of my vlogs on the camera.
Okay.
Not knowing it's a running club. I've ran past it. I thought it was some kind of YouTube youth clubs type thing. But tell us more about ViewTube, the club, how you came about joining the club and how it works for you. Clearly, it helps you because you've mentioned it many, many times already in this run-up.
I was at Park Run with one of the girls who was part of ViewTube. And she said, come along. I said, ViewTube running club? I'm not into clubs. I don't do stuff like that. But I rocked up, went for a run. I thought, okay. What I liked about it is there's no formality. There's no real, okay, we're better than you. It's just a group of people with a load of different range of paces and abilities. And you've got a couple of decent leaders. You've got Paul Lewis. You've got Mike Bristow will be the two major ones. They are very good at one, coaching people, and two, encouraging people and just helping you get along, and makes a big difference, because once you realize you can do two or three runs, you think, oh, okay, so I'm not completely useless. And they do Paul's a running coach, as far as I remember. Apologies if I've got it wrong, Paul. And he gives good advice on it. He also helps out with the track work on Thursdays. But it's very easy to turn around to yourself and say, I don't feel like it tonight. But if you've said to somebody else, yeah, I'll meet you there, you've got the extra commitment to it as well. Plus, you've got people you look at and go, do you know what? I think I'm better than you. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but I look at some people and go, you're an inspiration, but you're also a rival. As much as I like you and admire you, I do intend to beat you. And some of the times it happens, other times it doesn't. But just gives you the motivation to keep going. So.
Excellent. I mean, how big is this club and how long has it been going?
Very good question, to which I don't really know all the details. I think a number of years ago they were part of a running group called Sweatshop based in Stratford. Then it's Paul Lewis, as I said, the guy's name. He went along and he's set up around the ViewTube Cafe, which is just at the back of the London Community Marathon track.
Yep.
So based out of there. And in terms of numbers, I think there's probably a couple of hundred members. In terms of how many people are regularly running, probably about 30 or 40 who kind of interchange here and there and overlap. But it's a decent setup, and they do a social once a month, which is nice, just catch up with a few people. Yeah, it's also nice to have, with the greatest respect, to have a different group of people to hang around with other than friends you might normally. So, yeah, I like it. There's a social side to it. There's also the benefit of running side to it.
It does sound excellent. I mean, in terms of numbers, I'll do maybe a bit of digging and put some links in the description with
Please
the
do. I'd like to
podcast
learn.
And blog. So, but in terms of, because I've found that certainly when I do some coaching with the Bourneville Harriers, the numbers that turn up, I mean, there's hundreds of members, but on the Mondays and Thursdays with the sessions, there's different numbers that turn up depending on the time of year, and the week, the weather, and et cetera. Yeah. So, it might be one I'll look up. So those who are listening, when Paul mentioned Stratford, obviously being from the Midlands, it's not Stratford upon Avon.
No, that's Stratford, where my family are from.
Yeah, it's from Stratford, East London. So if those who want to look that up, and again, there are other clubs, but for those who are listening and think that clubs might not be for them, there's a mixture, because you mentioned the socials as well. There are running clubs that are called social run groups, which is, and I liked what you're saying about competitiveness. So it's more on the social side, but there are clubs that maybe their names are a bit more competitive. But I can guarantee you that even where the people are competitive, there's always a social group in there somewhere. So you can always find. Would you agree, Paul? You can find your level.
Oh yeah, I'm guessing obviously different clubs have different ranges of abilities, but you're going to have somebody somewhere who's at your pace or thereabouts, and it's someone to run with. It's also somebody to challenge yourself against. So there's a few people there I look at and go, I'm never going to reach them, but
never say never. You never know.
I'm realistic.
Or are they like running 2:15 marathons, are they?
No, I mean, there's people I look at and going, no, not a chance. But it gives me something to aspire to. And if I reach it, phenomenal. But if I don't, then at least I've got halfway along the way.
Yeah. So you mentioned, are there any of them going to be joining you on your 2020 challenge, as in part of the marathons or whole marathons with you?
I don't know, is the honest answer there.
Have you asked them? Do they know? Are you going to surprise them? Is this when you start telling them about this podcast, is this going to be the first they hear of it?
Oh, no. I've rabbited on quite a bit. That people know. I'm not subtle about things like that.
Right, sure.
They know. And it's, I suppose if it coincides with something that people want to do, yeah, crack on. I'm happy with it. So I don't know if many of them are going to sign up for anything further, but the Sikhs in the City, which is in December, it's probably around the 21st, give or take. A number of people did that last year with me, and I have a feeling a number of them will probably do it again. My hope is that will be the last one of the year. So then to have people of your own running club doing that last marathon with you, psychologically and physically, would help you. So
Absolutely. I have every belief that you will do them. I may even join you on some if they are local, depending on where my location is.
You doing the Stratford and Avon Marathon?
No, because it's normally the same day as London Marathon.
Yep.
So
I'm
down for London.
Okay.
But the Stratford on Avon is a great course. I was there last year supporting. Obviously, it was local to me where I was at the time, so I'm now here in London. But Stratford upon Avon, you will love it. I can introduce you to the guy who won it. And he was a guest on the show a while back. He's although we often hear, I mean, I do joke about, have you told anyone about at your club about this challenge? I meet people of all different levels. So we live in a sort of social media world where some people overshare. Mm-hmm. And a challenge like what you're doing, they would have told people 2 years ago that they were embarking on this. And then there's others who their wife or husband or whatever hears about it is when it's in the local newspaper, so they haven't even told their spouses. Right. Although sometimes you would guess that maybe they're out regularly. I don't know, but anyway, that's there is the parody of someone who used to run marathons and told nobody. I don't know if you've seen that one on YouTube.
Not familiar with it. No,
I'll send you that link.
It is a
mockumentary.
Okay.
So it's not real. I'm sure there are people out there who do run marathons and tell nobody about them.
Good on them, if that's what they want to do.
Exactly. But I have every belief you're going to be doing this, Paul. I think the words often people say, you'll smash it. I don't know if you'll smash every one of them, but I've got some confidence that if you've done a 4:08?
4:08, yeah. So
I think those who are listening, and I know there's a lot of top runners who watch the YouTubes and listen to the podcasts who are, you know, proper hardcore runners, you know, sub-3 marathon runners. I think they know that you'll be able to do it, and it's just down to you believing it on the day. So no pressure.
Thanks.
Obviously, you've got the benefit of doing 20, so if it doesn't go right, you can do a little tweak. And there are guys, Cole, if you are listening, there's a chap who I've ran with, and he watches, and he runs around 3 hours, 3 hours and five, but his times vary between 3 hours and two and 3 hours and 10.
Okay.
Every week. And he's just got into a rhythm, but he knows that one of them, he'll go under three, but it just depends how you feel on the day. So I think you've got the right attitude, not putting any pressure on yourself at time, but enjoy it. Because I think if you're enjoying it, what happens?
Yeah, it makes life easier. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't enjoy it. There's no point putting yourself through a challenge like that. So,
yeah.
Look forward to it.
So you're not into this no pain, no gain?
Go for it if you want, mate. Go for it, you know. To each their own is my philosophy. Yeah, I accept, you know, it's not going to be easy. Yeah, you'll lose a few toenails. You'll have injuries. It will hurt. It will be cold. But you do accept that that's part of it. The enjoyment is the overall thing of actually the challenge for yourself and seeing, can you push yourself to that point? If you do, great. If you don't, you learn from it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So. And I was just being a bit of, I think the word might, and the no pain, no gain, I'm definitely not of that category. So if things start hurting, it either means slow down or sometimes might have to stop.
Yeah.
And but getting to the end, there's all sorts of ways of, as I say, skinning a cat. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll go with that. That works for me.
But anyway, Paul, thank you so much for your time
on.
I wish you all the best for your challenge. And as I say, thanks so much for your time coming on the show. And maybe we'll catch up again later in the year, how you're progressing. Does that sound like a deal?
Yeah, go at September, October. We'll see where we are.
And for those watching, I think I forgot to press the record button. So for those who are watching on YouTube, you might have missed the first few minutes.